All right, so last week I started a series called Heart of Gold. Heart of Gold. I want to give. Oh. So for several weeks we're going to look at scripture that relates to gold. That's, God talks about many things in His Word that are bigger than gold, like gold in one way or another. So that's a theme that I'm getting into. And gold, we know, is a one-of-a-kind. It's a unique metal that's been considered to be the king of metals from ancient times. I want to repeat some. Gold is unique. Okay, the only metal that's yellow or golden in color, in its pure form, and God's Word is unlike any other. There's no other ancient writings more valuable than God's Word. And gold is extremely ductile, meaning malleable. There's one, like I said, 1 ounce of gold can be drawn into a gold thread 5 miles long, 1 ounce, or be hammered into a sheet, 300 square feet big, and thin enough to be transparent. So gold is very good at not corroding from air, water, or acids. And God's Word never gets old, never wears out. It is impossible for it to get outdated like gold. According to the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, like I mentioned, we were told that nearly all the gold on Earth isn't from Earth. Got here through meteorites, asteroids pounding the Earth, so they say. And there's a lot of scientists are convinced of that. Apparently, it came from above. That's the point. And today's focus comes from above also. It's God's wisdom. So we're going to talk about God's wisdom, that it yields better returns than gold. I want to read Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. It says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she," meaning wisdom, "is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold." So let's just pray. Just want to commit this to the Lord. God, we just pray you'd bless this time. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you want to deposit in us. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, and that we would we walk away from this time knowing that we've spent time with you. Lord, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you do speak to us. And we just pray you'd bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about how gold, we talked about God's Word, that God's Word is more precious, more valuable. Talk about a value of gold, more valuable than gold. And today, looking at God's wisdom, it's really the key word is yield. It yields a better return than gold. I know from talking to my favorite farmer in town, Jim Sam, anyway, that you plant one kernel of corn and one ear yields an average of 800 kernels on that one ear. And some forms of corn, they have 2 ears per stalk. So typically, though, it's one ear per stalk, one seed, one kernel gets an 800-fold return. That's a pretty good return. And 2 ears, so one kernel could yield average of 1,600 kernels back. That's a really good return. And God's Word says God's wisdom produces a better yield than that, better return than gold, better than anything of the best of the things of this earth. God's wisdom yields in a greater way. So he made gold. God made gold. And he made it to grow in value. And his wisdom is like it, but the returns are even better. So just, and that's on applying God's wisdom. We need to apply his wisdom. First point I want to make is God's wisdom is far superior to ours. And that is the understatement of the year, right? Any questions on that? Any doubts? It's not. No, it's a massive understatement, but it's good to admit it. It's really good to just say it. It's like, yes, God, you are so much wiser than me. And Isaiah says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways are higher than ours, and God's thoughts or his wisdom is higher than our thoughts and wisdom. God knows way better than us. And why is that true? Why is his wisdom in ways so much superior to ours? It says, besides the fact that he's God, I mean, that's a given. But it says, because of his perspective, they're much higher. They're so much higher. His view of everything is so much greater than ours. Literally, spiritually, figuratively, in every way. It says, he sees so much better than us. His vantage point is so far beyond ours. For example, adult perspectives and kid perspectives. Kids see down here, adults see up here. There's a difference of experience, difference of perspective. Tell you a story. My son and his little son, Ezra, who is 4, were planting some hostas out in the yard by some neighbors that gave them some hostas. And the whole time, Ezra's calling them pastas. It's like, oh, here's the pasta, Dad, here's the pasta. And Tony didn't correct it. It's just funny, it's cute, and he's letting them call them pastas. And then it just so happened that evening, that same day, they're having dinner, and they're having pasta, okay? There's actually literally pasta noodles in the meal. And so the discussion went kind of like this. Ezra says, Mom, can we get some pasta seeds so we can grow some pasta? And Meg says, pasta doesn't come from seeds. It comes from flour and eggs. Flour, F-L-O-W-E-R. As a 4-year-old hearing this, you know. Flour and eggs. And Ezra says, oh, then can we get some flour and egg seeds so we can grow some pasta? And she said, what? What do you mean? He says, like the pastas Dad and I planted outside. And Zion had to say, no, Ezra, hasta, hasta. And so that's a picture, and it's easy to see how that comes about with a kid. That's a picture of our wisdom compared to God's wisdom, right? How our understanding doesn't exactly line up with God's understanding all the time. Sounds right. There's similar words or similar ideas, but no, there's a million miles of separation between reality and what he was thinking. And so the good news is, though, God shares his wisdom with us. Amen. We can know his wisdom. Amen. He preserved it. He had it written down. He had it. It was over 1,400 years he took to have it written down and lived out by many people over many centuries to give us his wisdom. So we can live by it. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge, though, right? Wisdom follows knowledge. Knowledge has to lead, but wisdom comes after that. It doesn't stop with knowledge. We can't stop with knowledge. And wisdom following knowledge isn't a guarantee. And just with age doesn't necessarily mean with age you grow more in wisdom. It's, right? It says, it's not automatic. But because anyone can gather knowledge, you can say, okay, Google. Are y'all your phones buzzing right now? Okay, Alexa or Siri. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Is it Louisville or Louisville? Raise your hand if you think it's Louisville. Any dare you? How about Louisville? Okay. So, well, Alexa would say you pronounce the capital of Kentucky Frankfurt. It's neither. See how a little bit of the lack of knowledge makes you look a little silly? But even if you had knowledge, you still need wisdom that goes with that. You need it. So, for example, there was 2 laborers down in a ditch digging a hole. And the one guy says to the other, says, why are we down here sweating and digging while the foreman is up there not digging and not sweating and making a whole lot more money than us? He said, I don't know, that's a good question. I'm going to go ask him. So he climbs out of the hole, he goes to the foreman and says, hey, Mr. Foreman, how come we're down there sweating and working hard and digging, and you're up here here with a clipboard, not sweating and not digging and making a lot more money than us. And he said, well, I'll explain. Here, there's a tree next to him. He puts his hand against the tree. He says, when I count to three, hit my hand as hard as you can. He said, all right, one, two, three. And he pulls his hand away and he punches the tree as hard as he can. He's like, oh, he says, because I got wisdom, you know. Oh, okay, I get it now. I get it. So he goes down to the hole, and his buddy says, what did he say? And he said, well, here, let me demonstrate. When I count to three, hit my hand as hard as you can. You can have knowledge, but without wisdom, it's not a whole lot of good. You can know things, and we're in a generation where you can instantly know things. There's a lot of knowledge seekers out there, but there's not a lot of wise people out there. There's two different things, and God's wisdom is so important. Proverbs 8:12 says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. So wisdom is talking about, I possess knowledge, but I also have prudence and I have discretion that goes with it, that has to go with it. The opposite of prudence is rashness, or quick to react. You just react. You know, the fool is thought wise if they hold their tongue. The wise hold their tongue. The foolish just speak out whatever's on their mind, or they react, and they're not prudent to think about it a bit. And speaking of pain, pain is a good teacher. It's a good teacher of wisdom. Amen. We can all. If you're over 12, you know what I'm talking about. Pain is a good teacher. You remember lessons that you learned in pain far greater than you learned in pleasure. There's so much more to learn, so much more that gets embedded through pain. And God built into life consequences, and that's part of the value of consequences, is they're painful. Some are good consequences, some are painful consequences. To, like I talked about, God's word steers us back. He lets us feel the pain to say, that is not a good way to go, and I need you to go this way. And it doesn't mean every painful thing is because you're doing something wrong. It's a little tricky, because just ask Job, you know. Just doesn't mean you're necessarily doing something wrong. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Even Jesus learned obedience by the pain that he felt in different ways. That's a mind blower. But you know, when you put your hand on a hot burner, it's like, ouch. I just learned not to do that again. And that's how lessons in life are. Things go wrong. It's not because God's against you. It's because God is for you. The person that puts his hand on a burner and doesn't feel it is called a leper. And I'm serious. A leper has lost the ability to feel. And they can burn their hand and not even know it. And that's a person who is dying. But the person who is living will feel it and pull back. And that's what God wants you to know and feel. He wants you to fall on your face every now and then if you're going a direction that is not the best for you. And it's because he loves you. He's not against you. So pain is a good teacher. Again, you can know a lot of things. You can have a lot of knowledge. You can be filled with knowledge, but without wisdom, it's empty. Your knowledge is empty at best and dangerous at worst. If it's not mixed with wisdom, you can be on a tear with your knowledge. You know something, and but you don't have wisdom, you can get in trouble. And we need to combine it. We need to combine the written word. This is the best source of knowledge, of course, but we need to combine this with the author of the written word. The written word and the author. Second point is, God's wisdom is a who, not a what. God's wisdom is God, is Jesus, is knowing him. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then jump down to, so the Word is talking about Jesus. It is God. Down to John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And then it says, "Who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, he's the written Word. He's Jesus. He's perfect knowledge. He's the written Word. He's perfect truth, perfect information, perfect understanding, but also full of grace and truth. And later in verse 17 in the same John 1, it says, "For the law was given through Moses." The law is knowledge. The law is truth. The law is facts. It's information. It's what the capital of Kentucky is. You can know the truth. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what to do in the law is through Moses, but Jesus took it further than that. His grace is applied to the law. His truth beyond the written words through wisdom came through Jesus Christ. So God's wisdom isn't just a what, it's a who. You can memorize this and be lost as can be. Right? You can know this really well and be nowhere near knowing Christ. You can just know a book. And so we say, yes, get to know this book. But it's got to go beyond the written word into the living word, the living Son of God. For example, the Bible says don't give false testimony. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't give false testimony against someone. We'd say don't lie, right? It's a commandment. It's a clear biblical mandate. It's a Bible rule. There's a book of rules, do's and don'ts. Don't lie. Sin is lying, okay? In one case in Scripture, a lie got Ananias and Sapphira struck dead by God because they lied about what they were giving to the apostles. And it says God struck them dead. Because sin is a lie, right? Lies are sin, right? But in another case, Rahab lied to authorities, and God rewarded her, significantly rewarded her and her whole family. He brought a blessing on her and her whole family for deceiving the authorities about where the spies were hid, that she had hidden two of the spies in Joshua's time. And God even included Rahab in the lineage of the Son of God. She's in the bloodline of Jesus. So wait, I thought the Bible says lying is a sin. Well, the living God, who she was listening to, God spoke to her and said, all Jericho is in fear of your God. And she asked for deliverance, and God gave it to her. And so she hid the spy. So we need to be, there's always going to be situations in your life that Scripture speaks to, and I encourage you to apply the Word of God to your situations, know what the Word says and apply them, but we need to know more than the written Word, that it's not just rules, do's and don'ts that we follow. We need to know the author of the Word. We need to know the Spirit of the living God and listen for His voice and be led by His Spirit. And that's not an easy, in some senses it's very easy because he gave us a conscience and we can be led by our conscience. But we need to seek counsel if there's a certain thing that's like, well, the Bible says this, but I don't have a peace about that. What's going on? And talk to someone. Obviously, pray about it. But spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time listening for His voice. Listen for God. Invite Him into your thoughts. And the reality is, He's in your thoughts all the time. But by inviting Him in, it's like, Lord, speak to me about this situation. It makes you more aware that He's already there. He's already in your thoughts. He's already speaking to you. But so when you're alone, when you're with others, just be praying. It's like, God, help me. What should I do here? What do you think? And then expect that He will speak to you And he will. He'll lead you. He loves you. He knows you. He knows everything about your tomorrow. He knows everything about your yesterday. And he knows how to direct you in a way that will bring life. And it'll bring him glory and honor, and it'll bring good for you. Because he cares about you in every situation. So it's amazing, but he will do it. So the third point I want to make, deposit God's wisdom deep inside you. Okay? Deposit it. His word and wisdom thrives when it's deposited deep in the vaults of our hearts. Not just sitting on the surface. That can happen. You can find gold on the surface, but usually you got to dig for it. It's hidden down deep. And how does it get down deep? It goes in the ears and gets lodged in the heart, which sounds like a terrible thing. But Proverbs 2, I'm going to talk about getting lodged. It's not on the, don't have it up there, but I just want to listen to this. Listen to Proverbs 2. It's a lot of the chapter. I just want to read because this is speaks to so much of this. Proverbs is all, it's called the book of wisdom. It's all wisdom. I mean, all of it. So it was hard to narrow it down to, okay, what can I share in a little bit on a Sunday morning? But so I want to share a little bit of Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom. Faith comes from hearing. A lot of times when we hear it, you might even know something, but when someone says it, it's like there's just, it just resonates and it gets established when you hear it. And that's why speaking the word is so important. But turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight, God help me, and cry aloud for understanding, God help me understand. Help me, Lord, what do I do here? What is going on with that? And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And the fear, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning. It's the first step towards wisdom is the fear of God. And that is pretty much everything you could imagine that to mean. It means you should be terrified of God, who he is. And you should be in great awe and respect of who he is. And someday we are all going to look him in the face. And so the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. It helps us to understand what we're here for and why, what life is about. The fear of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. And think of these things that God does. He gives wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Aren't bad things. These are all good things, good reasons to have the fear of the Lord. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. God's doing all the work here. He's giving victory. He's providing a shield of defense and victory in battles because we are crying out to him for wisdom, for his wisdom. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom, and here's the defense of God's wisdom, how he protects. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose ways are perverse. And remember, the word perverse just means crooked, angle. It's not necessarily a sexual term that the world has turned it into. The justice was perverted. That means justice that should have gone this way, true justice was turned in a wrong way. So for men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, the crooked ways of evil, that is not the straight way that God designed, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I'm just going to stop there. But those are some things that we want to get God's wisdom deep inside of us so that we are walking in the light. And it's, again, not on there, but the psalmist says, don't be like the horse or the mule that has to be controlled by bit and bridle, that you have to have some outside force that doesn't allow you to sin. And I say it all the time that in the Garden of Eden, when God said, no, don't eat from this tree, he didn't put a fence of razor wire around it. He didn't keep them from being able to sin. He wanted their obedience to come from the heart. It was clearly there as an opportunity, and they did blow it, we know. But the goal, whether it's with your kids or with your own life, is not to just put up barriers so that you can't sin. It's to choose righteousness from the heart. And there may be a time when you do need to put a padlock on whatever. That might be a time. But the goal is to willingly honor God. Not because you have to, but because you choose to. That's not like the horse and the mule that have bit and bridle and they got to turn here and go there wherever someone else is telling them to go. It's like, don't be like that. Honor God with your life willingly. And honor him for not only staying out of trouble and having a healthy fear of God, but out of a heart to honor him for all that he's done for you. Remember all that he's done for you, to forgive you, to heal you, to provide in so many ways. And don't think, oh, I'm not doing anything big for God. I read my Bible. I go to church. I'm a little guy. I do these little things. It's I'm not a big deal. And I heard an interview with, anyone know Dallas Holm from the olden days? Dallas Holm, singer, songwriter, just a couple of hands of gray hairs, like I'm one of them. He's a Christian musician back in the day. He's retired, but he was being interviewed. He's 50 years in ministry, being interviewed by Gary Wilkerson of World Challenge, and they're just talking about his life in ministry. And by the way, my mom babysat him when he and his brother were little kids up in North or South St. Paul. But anyway, I love his music. And a quote that I heard him say, and I wrote it down, he said, never underestimate the power of weakness. Because we know the scripture says God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we think, well, I'm no big deal. I'm just a little guy. I just do little things. I read my Bible, and I don't have any big influence. Like, never underestimate the power of weakness. And then Gary Wilkerson added to that, he said, that makes me think of what God used to speak to Pharaoh in Egypt. He didn't use plagues of elephants and bears and lions. He used plagues of gnats and flies and frogs and little things to overwhelm the leader of the most powerful nation on earth. A lot of little things. Grasshoppers, lots of them. Little, you think you're little? God is using little to overwhelm strong, powerful things. And I thought that was great. So keep doing the small things. Keep reading his word. Keep fellowshipping. Keep looking for God's wisdom. Keep praying. Keep connecting, you know, with others. Go to a small group. And the yield will come. The yield will come better than gold. And then I'll close with this. The reason it's so important for us to understand how God's wisdom works and that we put it into practice, not just know it, but do it, is because it's through us. It's through the church that God ordained his manifold wisdom to be made known, not just to humanity, but it says in Ephesians to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So I want you to think about that. You honoring God, honoring his word, putting his wisdom into practice, speaks to angels and demons and affirms God's wisdom is amazing over all others. What an amazing responsibility and opportunity for us to be part of God's mission on the earth. And we know how little kids like to say, "Dad, watch this. Mom, watch this. Watch me," right? And we do. We love it. But God is saying to angels and demons, "Hey, watch this. Watch how he's reading the word. Watch how he's honoring me. Watch how he's honoring me when no one's looking. Watch how she's ministering to her kids when she's exhausted. Come here, look at this, watch this." And it's through the church that his manifold, multifaceted wisdom is made known to demons and angels who are marveling at the wisdom of God through us. Through us, not through creation, not through all the systems, not through just the planets and all the big things, but through the church, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. And God is saying, "Watch this. Look at that. Look at what they're doing for me. Look how they're giving their life. Look how they're sharing their faith. Look how they don't understand the tough thing they're going through, but that they're still praising me. They're still trusting me. They're still trusting that I'm good." And God is dropping the jaws of angels and shutting the mouths of demons through the church, through you. Through you. Just by knowing God's word and doing it. Living it out. Living it out when you don't see any return on that investment. Living it out when you don't feel like living it out. Living it out when no one is seeing you. You're not doing it for the recognition. But God is seeing it. God sees you. And it's a powerful thing. And I encourage you to make a deposit this week. Deposit God's wisdom deep in your heart. And watch the abundant yield come. Watch your life grow in interest. Plant those pasta seeds as often as you can, and you will get a yield back for sure. And it will grow in interest, and trust me, things will get really interesting. Interesting as you put God's wisdom into practice in your life. Whew. Thank you, Lord. So let's stand and close. I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. You have to know the author of all wisdom first. You have to know Jesus. Not just know about him. I can know about George Washington, but I've never met him. I can know about Hawaii, but I've never been there. I can give you some ideas of what Hawaii looks like. I've never been there. I can give you some ideas about George Washington, but I've never met him. But I can give you a lot of ideas about Jesus, and I've met him. And I know him. And it's the starting point. You have to know him. You have to say, "I surrender." And if you've never surrendered to Christ, you can't possibly walk in what I'm talking about. You have to surrender. You say, "Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my priorities. I give you my decisions. I look to you to forgive me of my sin and to lead me in the life that you want for me. I don't ask you to bless my ideas. I want your ideas. I surrender to you." God is so good. He's so gracious. So Lord, help us invest in knowing you. Invest in time in your word and time in putting your word into practice. Knowledge with wisdom, knowledge with prudence and discretion, Not just leaving it up to the pastor or a spouse or parents or whoever to know it, but to dig in for ourselves. Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient for anything that we're dealing with. Lord, and you have a great love for us. You want us to know you. And you want victory. You are a strong tower. You are a shield. You give wisdom. You give the victory. Lord, we trust you that though we live in a fallen world, you have a place that's, in a sense, the eye of the storm that you carry us, and you have peace for us in it. Just pray you'd bless this week as we commit to you. Bless the National Day of Prayer and all the meetings that we have, Lord. Help us to grow in you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, there'll be others over here to my left every week. And everyone said, amen. 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 Have a great week. See you.